Say it again. I have only one life.
I have only one life.
I cannot waste it.
I cannot waste it.
There is something that we must understand before I start. Glory to God. Are we together here? When we come into God, the only thing we receive is forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of what?
Sin.
Amen. Not forgiveness of waste. Not forgiveness of losses. Life is said that when you waste it, you can't be forgiven. Am I talking to somebody here? When you waste it, you can't be forgiven. God can forgive you your sin, but he won't forgive you wasting life. Hallelujah. And to construct life, as we'll be doing in this journey, life by design. Living life by design. Living life by what?
Design.
By design. Now, the ways of the earth are such that if you are not intentional, a lot of things have defaults. A lot of things have what?
Defaults.
The Bible said the whole world lieth in wickedness. So there's a default. Hallelujah. The whole world lieth in what? Wickedness. So there is always a default that if you do not intentionally apply yourself to design, you will fall to. There is always a default. There is a default to a life that is not intentionally lived. There is a default. See, there is a default. There is a default to a business that is not intentionally developed. There is a default. You don't have to do anything about it. It will just work. Am I talking to somebody here? There is a default to a relationship that is not intentionally cultivated. There is a default. There is a default to an education, schooling, that is not intentionally managed. There is a default to finances when you don't intentionally apply principles to it. That is the nature of the earth. That is the order of the earth. So when we come into how we can live life, we must understand that anything you fail to do by intentionality, you automatically resign yourself to the defaults already set for life. You don't need to do the other. Hallelujah. You see, the choices of life that determine the overall outcome of people's existence are not a yes and a no. Are you getting me? It is not that if you don't choose this one, then you can choose this one, or you choose neither. No. When you choose one, automatically you have rejected the other. When you choose the other, automatically you have rejected this other one. Are we together here? That is the design of life. So if you choose wisdom, you have automatically rejected folly. If you choose folly, you have automatically rejected wisdom. You don't need to say, oh, but I didn't reject wisdom. I only choose folly. No. Choice of one means the choice of another. Do you get what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Yeah. If you say, I don't love God, you are just saying, I love the devil. You don't need to say that other one. One means the other. That is the nature of life. One means the word, the other. Glory to God. Are we together here? If you are shown the ways of prosperity, you say, I will not do it. You say, I want to be poor. You don't need to tell us. It is a choice. It's automatic. That's the nature of life. So sometimes people who don't understand that reality, they sometimes wake up one day and get surprised why certain things prevail in their lives, thinking they did not cause it. But that you chose one thing automatically meant the other was chosen. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah? Hallelujah. So we see in the book of Romans chapter 8, the verse 28 to the verse 30. It says, and we know all things work together. All things. Somebody say all things. Work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to the purpose of God. So life is designed according to a blueprint. When we talk about design, it means that there is a blueprint. Because you can't design something when there isn't a blueprint you are trying to conform to. Are we together here? Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that blueprint is what we call destiny. Everything works together according to the blueprint, according to how God knew us before we were formed in the womb. According to how God perceived us. So life has to be lived in conformity to something already determined in God. Are we here? Hallelujah. Yeah. It has to be lived in conformity to something already determined in God. The verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, Jeremiah said, the Lord knew me. Before I was formed in my mother's womb, he knew me. Glory to God. God has knowledge of you. There is nothing about your life that surprises God. Glory to God. Are we together here? For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinate to what? To be conformed, to be aligned, to be like. To be what? To be like the image of his son, so that he will be the firstborn among many brethren. The verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So, by the time a person comes into glory, it is first of all assumed, or first of all acknowledged, that there is a design by which my life should conform to. Before you come into glory, you must first acknowledge that there is an already existing blueprint. You have lived before. Amen. You have what? You have lived before. And to come into glory, you must identify and acknowledge that you have a life by record with God, which you must conform to. It's called destiny. It's called what? Destiny. It's called destiny. What is destiny? Destiny is the original intent of God being fully made manifest in the life of a person, so that the end of that person aligns, conforms to the will, to the thoughts, to the intents of God for that person. That is destiny. Glory to God. It is the original intent of God. Somebody say, God is mindful of me. If God should be interviewed on who you are, it will be a perfectly told story from birth to death, with every detail outlined, never missing anything. But how do we live it out? God plants this eternal intent into the hearts of men, so that they can dig into their hearts and find purpose. Purpose is the vehicle. It is the medium by which or through which we are able to convert the original intention of God from thoughts to tangible manifestations in our life. So to live life by design is to practically and to intently structure your life in such a way that you are able to convert the thoughts and the intents of God concerning you into tangible manifestations in your time of life on this earth. To be able to construct a pathway, knowing that by living life this way, whatever it is that God has written concerning me, at various points in time, I will manifest them one after another. I pray for somebody here that your life will be a manifestation of God's intent. Some of you are not intent on living. You have resigned yourself to default. Amen. You have what? You resign yourself to just wake up in the morning, eat what? Hausa kuku, gobe, whatever it is, eat. And then go to work. And then close. Then you come home. Hallelujah. Then you watch news more. These days people don't even watch news, cry. Hallelujah. Watch TV, Facebook, whatever it is. And then sleep again. And then wake up again. And it becomes a lie, a cycle till you die. Can you imagine? Don't even get tired. What a kind of life. It's so boring. Hallelujah. You know some people can live in a place. And after 1 year, Accra, the closest, tourist site, closest, even walking distance. Like somebody can live in Sakomoro here and they have not stepped foot at the beach after 2 years. Hallelujah. Pastor Abu, am I talking to you here? No, it's serious. I mean, if you don't take time, you wake up one day to realize that your life is just running by default. You don't need to intervene. The thing is just going. How many of us have experienced that? The thing is, it's just going. You know, at a point, your body is even programmed. Whether you use alarm or not, you wake up at the same time. You don't really need to be in a hurry. After some time, you just know that every time you are going to work, there's a particular time you go out, you leave the house. There's a particular time you get to the office. You get it? Anytime it changes, something has happened. Default, it's you didn't have to intervene. The thing is just working by itself. If you are not intentional, you will resign your life to a default. Glory to God. And you see, if you realize, especially in IT or in any field, default settings are the basic settings. Have you realized that? So when you buy a software, and they'll give you default settings. The default settings don't present anything nice. It's like a phone. You know, almost everybody here has changed their phone ringtone. Because when you buy the phone, the default settings are so many things you don't like. So many things that don't look like you. So we have what we call customization. Someone say customization. So when you buy the phone, normally first 2-3 hours, you do customization. Some will change wallpaper, change screensaver, change ringing tone. Some will change what again? Install your email on it, whatever it is. Why? You are making it personal to you so that when we pick the phone, we can say, this is your phone. It's not for the... Two people can use the same brand of phone, the same model. But when we open it, we will know this one belongs to this one, that one belongs to. It's called customization. You must customize your life. Tell somebody you must customize your life. Yeah. So if you are too common, too general. Are we together here? You are too what? There is nothing special about you. So even when you are not there, we don't remember. You fit in so easily. You don't make any difference. When you leave, we don't even realize it. And you know, such people too, when they leave, it's not like we've forgotten them. We didn't realize they have left. And when they see us, they rather want to accuse us. Hey, so you people are not calling me. We didn't even know you left. You are not too special. Look at somebody's face. Don't say anything. Let me be the one to say it for you. Look at somebody. You are not too special like that. If you say, the person will be angry at you. I'll say it for you. Hallelujah. Customize your life. Make it so meaningful, so special, that when you leave a place, it will be evident that somebody has left here. Hallelujah. It will be evident that things are not going the way they are supposed to go. Yeah. Don't live a general life. General. Glory to God. Yeah. General life. Ordinary life. Ordinary. Some of you, for the past 2-3 years, you've eaten only 3 kinds of food. Consistent. Eat. So, if you don't eat fufu, you eat rice. If you don't eat rice, you eat what? Banku. You are done. You finished. You are too general, too ordinary. Hallelujah. Are we together here? Yeah. Too ordinary. Some of you have lived in Accra here 5 years, 10 years. You have not gone enter the restaurant before. Please. I'll say something. You let's continue before. Hallelujah. So, customize your life. Customize. Life by design is life that is customized. You design it. You sit down. You look at your purpose, what you are made for, and begin to realize. Everybody will go to school, but how is your school so different? Customize your own. Are we together here? Everybody goes to church, but how is your church going different? Customize it. Everybody marries, but how is your own marriage so different and useful? You must customize the thing to serve a purpose. Customize your finances in a way that it serves a purpose. Hallelujah. Are you together here? If all of us are giving the same amount of money here, maybe let's mention good amount. Let's say $1 million. Amen. Don't think Ghana or 200 Ghana. At least in your imagination, you are at liberty to become anything. Nobody can judge you. Hallelujah. Someone say, I'm a millionaire. Yeah. You just convince yourself. Hallelujah. We will deal with the reality later. Amen and amen. If everybody is giving $1 million right now, after maybe 1 year, the difference will not be the same. The difference will be what everybody used that common value for. All of us giving $1 million. Somebody will go and probably buy clothes and buy car and buy houses. Hallelujah. And then after, by the time they get all the properties they need in the world, they will die. And it will become inheritance. Somebody will also want to build businesses and employ people. Glory to God. Somebody said, oh, me, I want to sponsor missions, whatever it is. What are we doing? Everybody is custom. It's the same amount of money, probably from the same source, from the same printing machine. But our use of the money creates personalization. We are customizing the money. In the same way, God has given all of us life. If we are to go by biblical durations, all of us are given 70 years. Amen. Same thing. It's like God calls everybody, God gives him $1 million. 70 years. All of us are given 24 hours. Nobody has 25. Nobody has 24 and a half. Are we together here? Hallelujah. Does not matter where you are coming from. 24 hours. If you are fair, 24. You are black, 24. Unless maybe you are green, you consider you. But whoever you are, there is a certain common distribution. But then, how do you use your 24 hours? How do you use your 70 years customization? That is when now everybody must sit down and design their life. Design it. Glory to God. Life by design is the only way to increase your value. It's the only way to do what? It works everywhere. Somebody normal, all right, can sew clothes. And then a designer will put a label on it. Boom. Instantly, the value of that clothes multiplies, maybe by 20. Design. Everybody has the same time. Everybody has the same duration to life. But how do we customize so that it serves a specific purpose? That is a life lived by design. A life lived by what? Now, let's look at, because I wanted us to talk about these seven things. Seven things, they are very normal things, but when we are not mindful, we will miss the whole point for life. Seven principles that determines life. Seven principal factors that helps us to design life. Seven what? Seven principal factors or principles that helps us to design, to customize. Don't forget the phone analogy. While the phone is on the shelf, it is general, it's on the default. As soon as you buy it, as soon as it becomes yours, your first thing is you want to customize it. You want to make sure it is operating the way you like it. Hallelujah. Are we together here? Yeah. In fact, some don't even just customize. They even import old stuff from an old phone to that new phone. And by so doing, the new phone is invested with history. So that even though the phone is new, it still relates to the past of the person. That's how powerful it is. But a lot of us don't know how to apply the same to our lives. Glory to God. Seven principles that will help you to design your life. Seven principles. Number one is the principle of time. The principle of time. Somebody say time. Time is the ultimate containment of every moment and activity that makes up the destiny of every individual. Everything you will ever become is hidden inside time. Everything you will ever become is what? Is hidden inside time. There is nothing you will do or become which stands by itself. It is connected to a certain time frame. There is a certain time you can do certain things. No matter how urgent you feel it is, when its time hasn't come, you can't do it. Are you together here? Hallelujah. Very important. You must understand this principle of time. That is why if anyone who would want to live life by design, customize their life, one of the things you must master is time. Hallelujah. One of the things you must master is what? Learn how to make time work for you. Learn how to utilize time, because inside every packet of time is a certain activity that can change your life. Glory to God. Look at something Jesus said when people were suggesting to him to do something, you know, in the book of John chapter 7, verse 1 to 8. Let's read. It's a long one, but let's be quick. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Hallelujah. Now, the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. And his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, so that your disciples will also see the works that you do. Wow. Hallelujah. Don't you think it was a nice idea? So just go into Judea, go and show them your powers. Hallelujah. It was a good advice. Go and show them something, so that they will believe in you. Says, for there is no man that does anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If you do this thing, show yourself to the world. Tell somebody, show yourself to the world. This is a very good advice that they were giving to Jesus. That the way you are healing, you know, remember when they went to the wedding and nobody had even known him. His mother knew that a guy could multiply the wine. And I believe that because this is the story, he was doing things in secret that not everybody knew. Hallelujah. They say, Charlie, nobody does anything in secret and then he will be known automatically, openly. You yourself must show yourself. Glory to God. Yeah, get on Facebook. Open the page. I'm sure that's what they were trying to tell Jesus. Open the page. And then go on Instagram. This, for neither did his brethren believe in him. You are too hidden. Even people close to you don't believe. Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come. Wow. This is somebody who knew he had very limited life on earth. Glory to God. He knew he was coming to die, but he was never in a hurry to do something before its time. He was never in a hurry. He understood this principle. Says, my time, it hasn't yet come. But he says, as for you, you always have time. Wow. So Jesus could distinguish his time from their time. I pray that God will give you wisdom. Jesus could distinguish. He knew that. Say, you have time. There are things you can do. There are things I cannot do. That's powerful. The principle of time. You must build yourself and master time. You must understand time and know what to do at every turn of life. If you want to design your life, begin with understanding time. Number two, respecting time. And number three, commanding time, not managing time. You can't manage time. Are we together here? I know they teach us time management, but you can't manage time. Whatever you do, time can't be stopped. You can't slow it. You can't hasten it. You can only manage yourself in time. Are we here? You can only manage your own self in time. So time management is all about self management, managing yourself in time. You choose to sleep, no problem, the time is still going. You want to be busy, no problem, time is still going. Glory to God. Yeah, you want to be jumping around, no problem, time is still going. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. The only thing you can do to time is to command it, is to speak to it. Glory to God. If you want to live life by design, begin with understanding the principle of time. Understanding what? Ecclesiastes talks about there is a time for everything. Hallelujah. There's a time for what? Everything. You want to live life by design. Decide that there are certain times you will focus on certain things. Decide it. Amen. Decide that as a woman, when there is time you want to marry, you won't busy yourself with masters and PhD. Just decide. Glory to God. Decide that in the time you are ready to marry, you will stop certain things. When people call you, you will not squeeze your face. You have to, when they call you, just start smiling. Yeah, I come. Hallelujah. Because the time is up.
and you are intentional in executing or achieving a certain intent, a certain objective, you are a young guy, anyone, lady, there is a time of your life, decide, I want to make money. Decide. Hallelujah. That's the principle of time. It is not every day you will make money. Glory to God. Are you with me here? Yeah, decide. I personally have problem with young guys who don't have passion to make money, but they are falling in love anyhow. Just fall. How can you fall in love easily like that? You've not fallen in love with money. You're falling in love. Decide. You don't understand time. Glory to God. Some of you say, oh, Papa, you know, we are not growing younger. So what? You are not growing. If you think you are not growing younger, then construct your life. Do what? Construct the thing. One proof that you are serious about life is to be intentional about things you must do in certain times. Amen. You know, please, let's be truthful and we will all be helped. One older person, I mean, he's a friend, but he's older. Around almost 50, 49, 50. And then he told me, oh, so if I want to do master's, so I told him, say, stop. Stop joking. Stop. Don't go and do it. Say, ah, why? But learning is a lifelong, as it is a lie. You've gone past it. 49, 50. You are now going to school to sit with 28, 29, 32 people. I said, stop. Don't go and do masters. If you still want to learn, gather money and go and do executive courses. Sit in classrooms with CEOs and managers. Don't go and sit in classrooms with people who have not worked before, who have not married before, and they will be your mate. Decide that at certain times, I will do certain things. That is how to master time. That's how to do it. Glory to God. The next principle, very powerful, is the principle of chance. The principle of chance. Somebody say chance. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 to 11. Do it with all your might. With all your might. Chances are opportunities that come your way. Every opportunity is God's attempt to reward you for something. Because that's what life is all about. Life is basically divided into three: purpose, achievements, rewards. For every purpose that is achieved, there is always a commensurate reward. That is it, life. Purpose, achievements, and rewards. For every achievement of any purpose, there is a commensurate reward. And that cycle runs consistently to form the overall outcome of your life. And one of the ways that God rewards us for various achievements is not salary. Glory to God. God rewards us by presenting us with opportunities. Sometimes the reward God wants to give you for a certain purpose you have achieved is a relationship. So he brings somebody your way. If you reduce every reward to money, you will miss out on God's compensation for your life. Am I talking to somebody here? Yeah. So you must be smart in how to identify opportunities. Understand that this life I am living, the way I have structured it, God has an input in my life. And God's input is that he plans opportunities at certain junctures of your life so that as you are focused on purpose, God also keeps throwing opportunities to you as a way to compensate you for what you are doing. Am I coming against somebody here? You is it everybody? Some people are looking for one big opportunity that will make them millionaires. No. Before that big opportunity comes, there are many others you might have missed. Hallelujah. Sometimes all that God wants to do, and I'll talk about it, is to give you an opportunity for a person to know you. It is like a reward God has given you. Hallelujah. Somebody of high repute knows you. Not like knows you by face. They know you by name. And 20 years later, that person shows up another time to finish the purpose for which they know you. If you don't understand life, you will live only in the present at the expense of the future. Glory to God. Are we together here? You will live only in the present at the expense of the future. Let's look at the next one. It's a principle of people. The principle of people. Everything God does, he uses people. Everything God does, he uses who? Yeah. Hallelujah. God wants to heal the world and take care of the health of people. He does not plant goats and cows in hospitals. It's human beings. Is that not so? God wants to prosper a nation. Imagine one day we wake up and we see one cow, president of the nation, cow. Hallelujah. God uses people. You must understand that if you are going to succeed in intentionally creating the life that resonates with the purposes of God, that resonates with the heart of God, you must have a special place in your mind where you understand this principle of people. Of what? Of people. Now, there is, if you are here and you want to succeed, let me see by hand those who want to succeed. Let me see. Let's say maybe you don't want to succeed too much. Some people say, me where I'm coming from, I don't want to succeed too much. Else, the witches in my house, they will kill me before my time. So I want to stay in the average so that I will not stand out like that. No problem. But you are here, you want to succeed. Listen, from today, when you go home, amen. When you go home, take a piece of paper. One of the things I have seen people are not intentional about is relationship. Everybody is your friend. Always visiting, always busy. That's when you are calling them, you can call them 3-4 times. Busy, 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 busy. I was telling some of the pastors there, everybody, you are everywhere, you are in everybody's case until we need people to show up in your case and nobody's coming. And some people don't take lessons. After that ordeal, when everybody has left you, when nobody shows up, you still recover and become busy with people again. Amen. Hallelujah. No. Me, if I'm, let's say I'm doing wedding. After my wedding, I will have to go through my friends list again and delete some people. Because I won't do wedding 5 times. So you can't miss one and say you have 4 to come. Am I talking to somebody here? Hallelujah. No. Say, I'm coming to do book lunch. After that, I will do revision of my friends list. I'll do revision. Glory to God. Yeah. You must be intentional. Not everybody can be your friend. Not everybody. Go and take a piece of paper. After today, when you go, then go. As soon as you enter the house, now take a sheet of paper.
the book of life. There are certain kinds of people you must be intentional in keeping around you and decide to invest in your relationship with them. The first one is spiritual authority. The first one, spiritual what? Authority. The first one is spiritual what? Authority. The second one is a mentor. A mentor. Don't confuse your life with so many spiritual authorities. This is my counsel. This is my counsel. Don't have any more than three spiritual authority, and don't have any more than one father in the Lord. It is a recipe for confusion. Hallelujah. In the body of Christ, there is a lot of confusion. People think you can have many fathers, you can have a father after. Please, whatever it is, just don't confuse your life. Are you with me here? Don't confuse your life. Because if you really, sometimes I have a problem with people who have so many spiritual fathers, I know they are fake. Because if you really want to feed a relationship with a spiritual authority, you can't have more than two. You can't have more than one. It will exhaust you. It will do what? Exhaust you. You know, some people have about five spiritual fathers. So, January, February, March, then they will go and sue to this one. So, by the time they will come back to the first one, it's 2 years. And then, this one will do program. And it's like, I have to go. Then this one will do. You are tiring yourself. If you really want to feed these relationships as demanded by destiny, here is my counsel. At most, one father in the Lord. It settles you. At most, two or three spiritual authorities. Because, life is a continuum. Nobody started their journey in God with me over here. Some of you had a certain father, then you grow, then you relocate, Some of them, you will lose contact. Some of them, you will carry them along because of a certain unique place they stand in your life. That is fine. But if over a period of time, you are surrounded with too many people, you can't have any quality relationship with any of them. Amen. One young guy who normally comes to me, he calls me daddy. Over a period of time, I realized that all the daddy was because he always needed my money. So I had to find a way to normalize the relationship before he kills me. Glory to God. And something happened to him. He had a police case. And nobody showed up. So he was lamenting to me. I was the one who went to bail him. So he was lamenting to me that this pastor said he will come. He didn't come. This pastor said he will come. He didn't come. And I told him, Jack, stop. If you know me, you can't just complain to me and you'll get me quickly like that. No. I said, Jack, stop. Stop. Stop that thing. For all these people you related to, it is math. I asked him, which of all these names you've mentioned did you call without asking for anything? Did you call to find out what they intend to do, how you can make their week easy for them? Oh, daddy, God bless you. Please, I just wanted to, this week I'm quite free. I wanted to find out if there is anything you'll be doing or anywhere you'll be going you might want me to. Which of them was now looking at me? So it is not about going about saying this one is my father in the Lord, this one is this one is that. It is a relationship you must feed. You must cultivate. You must do what? Yeah. You need it. If you want to live life by design, at every point in time, you should be able to mention at least one spiritual authority who knows you by name and attest to the current the present progress of your life. Who knows you? Not somebody who says, I know this guy. Hey, I'm going to tell him, catch you. You don't have a relationship. You don't have a relationship. A mentor. Who is a mentor? A mentor is normally an area-specific person. An area-specific. So somebody who is designated
to furnish you with tutelage, with training for a specific area of your life. For a specific what? Area of your life. So you can decide that for my career, I want to submit to this person. Choices I have to make, courses I have to do, trainings I have to do, I want to speak to this person. Hallelujah. Then there is also the life coach. Okay, I was not writing anything, so let me just mention them. There is a life coach and there is a purpose partner. Let me be specific on the purpose partner. This is where you separate friends from friends. Hallelujah. This is where you should be intentional. Don't waste your time around people. You know, there are certain relationships, if you do nothing about them, they will still be there. They will still remain. Amen. How many of us have gone for school reunion before? There are some we've not seen for 5 years, 8 years. As soon as you see them, all of us, everybody is happy. You don't need to do anything about them. It stays. So don't bother too much. It's not every wedding you will go. So I see people who have left school for 8 years, 5 years, and they are still going for weddings of classmates. I say, you are not serious. Yeah, you are not intentional with this life. So 5 years, this person you have seen, 5 years, you have seen the person maybe once or twice. You want to travel for his wedding. Do you think you are in that person's life like that? 5 years. Do you think you exist in there? Amen. That's how sometimes you see people who are not intentional about relationships. Glory to God. And the kind of relationship they have to actually feed, they won't show up. They won't what? They won't show up. But the ones that mean nothing, they were doing school contribution, school group, you are paying 100, 100. You know, gather. If you ask, so me too, when it gets to my 10, what is your 10? Is it that you will die or your father will die? What is your 10 that you are preparing for? Hallelujah. Be intentional. Look for destiny friends. Friends that show up, they inspire you. Friends that you can discuss plans with. And the next morning, they are calling you with suggestions. This thing you told me. I asked a certain brother of mine, and he says this one. Listen, okay, let's go here. Hallelujah. I remember one time, some years back, we were just there, just talking. I said, Charlie, I want to know how it feels, how the Northern Ghana is like. We want to do feasibility study for ministry. I feel we will have to go there at a point. We discussed that in afternoon. The following morning, myself and Apostle Kingsley were on the way going to Tamale. There's nothing like, okay, let's plan. I'm busy. The following morning, we were on the road, moving. Can you have friends who are interested, who have vested interest in your destiny, that they are willing? They are doing what? They are willing. One time, on a normal day, we were just talking, and then one email came to me, and I needed money to be able to do certain things. And Pastor Richmond was there. I didn't ask him anything. I was just talking, Charlie, I have to do this, I have to do. His first question was, how much will you need? I said, maybe about 10,000. The following day, he sent me 10,000. You don't have to ask. These are destiny friends. Some of you don't have any destiny friend. You don't have any destiny. If you like, have problem right now, start going through your contact list. You see that when you scroll, you get to a name, then you consider this one. No, let me scroll. Then you know that you don't have any destiny friend like that. You don't have anybody. Glory to God. You must be intentional. You must be what? Intentional. Very important. And have mentees. People who put you on your toe. People you also pour into. It's a principle. You want to do life, you must have people around you. Hallelujah. Then there is another one, the principle of place. This principle is very powerful. If you want to live life by design, decide that there are certain places you will never appear there. There are certain places you will do everything possible to always be there. You can't be everywhere. Amen and amen. If you don't go for that funeral, they won't keep the body. They will still bury the body.
No, be so.
If you don't go for that wedding, they will still do kiss the bride.
Or they will, because Pastor Kodi don't come, so you wait. You won't kiss today.
You must decide that you can't be everywhere.
Oh, Pastor Kodi, you go. Hallelujah.
You must decide that you can't be everywhere. You will not be everywhere. There are certain places you must decide. Make it a point. Even when people are pushing you, say, I won't go there.
I won't what?
I won't go there. One of the places you should vow as a destiny person, as a kingdom child, never to enter is a shrine. Even when you are sick, you can't move, you can't lift your hand, you can't even talk, and they are lifting you, they are carrying you to shrine. Use the last strength to shake yourself. Yeah, I won't enter here. Hallelujah. I won't do it. I won't enter. Glory to God. You see, those days when we were children and they were taking us to school, they said we won't go. So that you go, you get to the door of the classroom. Then you hold left and right. No matter what, I won't enter. Hallelujah. There are some places. Let me just mention them quickly. Five places that you must always identify. The first one is the dark places. The Bible talks about the dark places of the earth, which are full of the habitations of cruelty. There are places that evil thrives, never appear there. Evil what? Thrives there. There are filthy places. They are what? Filthy places. They are places that any day you enter, everything you don't want to do, you do. There are places where the devil vexes your spirit. There are places where you enter, you compromise easily. Glory to God. Are you together here? You compromise what? Easily. All school reunion. As soon as they post the dates, and then some high school babe will just WhatsApp you. I hope you are. You know that. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody here? Yeah. Glory to God. So that's, we are going for funeral. We are traveling to home. We are going for funeral. You know that it's not funeral you are going. You know that this funeral, by the time you bury the dead body, you also bury your destiny. Hallelujah. Places that brings compromise to you easily, decide I won't go there. Then there are waste places in the realm of the spirit. There are places where losses abound. Anywhere you go, anytime you enter into a waste place, things leave you. Things do what? Things leave you. Money leaves you. Like places that you lose things so quickly and easily. You must be smart to identify and organize your exits from such places. It can even be where you stay. Amen. So if you stay in certain houses and in certain places, nothing works. At least try relocating. Try what? Move. There are certain places when you enter, say, my soul has found a resting place. Then there are high places. What are high places? High places are places of high rewards. They are the dwellings of great and noble people. They are places when you enter, the least you offer is multiplied. You know, I give this example. You can sell water by the roadside 3 cedis. You can sell water at Kempinski for 20 cedis. The water doesn't change. Label is the same. Place changes. That's all. Glory to God. Glory. Yeah. It's only a place that changes.
You must identify high places and know how to order yourself in high places. Some of us don't know how to enter high places. Glory to God. Our next topic next month is going to center on grooming. On what?
Grooming.
Glory to God. Yeah, it's going to be powerful. It's going to be a wonderful time. Some of us don't know how to enter kingly places. We don't know how to enter palaces. Hallelujah. You see, when we grow, we get to a point we undermine so many things. You should have dresses you don't wear to anywhere, anyhow. You should have dresses you invest money to buy and keep for certain places. Do you understand it? Yeah. Do you know what? You can put on a tie which you bought for only 50 Ghana. You can also put on a tie which you bought for 1,000 cedis. You yourself may not appreciate the difference, but when you enter a high place, it can be the reason why a certain door is open to you. That tie. Because the one that sees value will recognize it. I once was working with one senior guy, very powerful, and we entered a shop and he bought a pen. That shop, I don't know if he's still there, but at 37, is it Max Mart or something, that building there, 37, is it Max Mart? Yeah, there is a shop there. Bought a pen, a sort of a pen, 127,000 cedis, pen. Asked, why do you waste money on pen? He says, no, this pen, we use it once in a lifetime. You enter a place, you put it. It's not a pen we put in this pocket. We put it here. The one that notices it can skim through an entire crowd and initiate a conversation with you. That conversation can be a $1 million conversation because it is not pen owned by managers. It's pen owned by CEOs of corporations, multinational corporations. They don't use it to write. They use it to distinguish themselves in the crowd. Glory to God. Yeah. That pen is a distinguishing element. It's not for writing. The one they used to write is in their pocket. This one is like a tag. It's like a what? Haven't you realized there is a market called luxury market? There is a reason why when they do certain product, they add information that this is only 20 in the world. So when you buy one, you know all the 20 of us who own it will not congregate in one place at the same time. So chances are that if I go for a conference, I will be only one out of the 20 over there. And everybody knows when they see it, they know that I am part of the only 20 in the world. Do you know what it means? It means I am not hidden. You, when you buy a certain car from a certain company and the car is only 20, it is a source of confidence even for a bank to loan you $100 million because they know that even if they can't find you, when they call Rolls Royce and mention your name, Rolls Royce will know where you are because there are only 20 people on that list. Glory to God. Yeah. You would think they are wasting money. They are just wasting money. We are not wasting money. You go to Osude, Kwale's resident, they've bought Ronaldo's car and they've put it in a glass. Why have you bought a car to put it in a glass? Because there are many houses, but that is the only house where Ronaldo's car is. We go there. Are you with me here? Very powerful. There is a way we order ourselves in high places. People don't know how. People don't know what. Glory to God. And there is what we call the holy place. There are places of encounter with grace and encounter with divinity. You must program your life if you want to matter, to have consistent appearance in a holy place. You can't go a certain length of time and there is no record of a holy place for your feet. It is an abnormality. It's a dysfunction. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then there is the principle of ability. Let me just mention these things quickly. Or what do you think? Because I want to finish today. There is a principle of ability. Everybody has something they know to do. Everybody has something they can do. If you don't learn, accumulate knowledge, if you don't train, if you don't develop yourself, you will automatically remain average. This life is all about trading our abilities for rewards. It's all about what? Trading our abilities for rewards. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Can we go there? 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. It says, as every man has received their gift, even so minister the same one to another. So everybody has something they have to minister. I'm going to end by mentioning 7 non-negotiable elements of your destiny. You can't negotiate it. If you don't have it, you are already in the loss. You don't. It is not a respecter of person. It's not a respecter of race. It's not a respecter of academic performance. It is non-negotiable. Somebody say non-negotiable. One of them is product. Everybody, your life is a product. When we meet you, in the shortest possible time, we should be able to define what benefit we have of you. It's non-negotiable. None. When make up your mind that in less than 5 minutes when somebody meets me, they know what they can get from me. Make up your mind. Develop yourself. Am I talking to somebody here? Hallelujah. Are you with me here? Make up your mind. Decide. No matter what you will do, ensure that when a person meets you, in 5 minutes, they can know, decide, that this person is my source of wisdom. Are you together here? Yeah. Decide. Build expertise in something that is easily identified as the product you offer to life. If after interacting with you 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, we still don't know what difference you really bring to life, what? You are a waste. You are what? Is it the reason why you can ask one friend for help? He gives you an excuse. And the same friend will give a double of that help to another person. Sometimes some of us will get to know later and we are offended. You have no right to be offended. You couldn't help your own self. But that also, you yourself couldn't help yourself. It is because the person does not find value in you. They don't have to decide it. It is a programming inside every human being. We offer to what brings value to us. It's automatic. It's natural. If there is nothing that somebody derives from you, it will be difficult for them to open their hand to you. They don't need to plan that they won't. It is just the natural programming of life. Say ability. Discover what God has put in you and decide that you will develop it. You will become the best in it. You are so good that when even a stranger sees you, in few minutes they can say, this person can do this for me. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. In fact, you can build your life. You can be so good that when somebody sees you, you say, if I want to be happy, I just have to call this person. You ooze joy. You bring life to everything. Hallelujah. So when they want to do party, everybody wants to make sure that you are there. Because even when the thing is dying, when you appear, we know that everybody will be happy. Value. What do you bring? Some of you, church, nothing. You do nothing, bring nothing. And then the person will be angry that, when I was doing my wedding, church people didn't come. When we don't come for your wedding, we don't experience any loss. We don't feel bad. There is no sense of indebtedness to you. Glory to God. Are we together here? Don't be angry if people are not giving to you what they give to others. Don't be angry, please. Don't. It happens in church. Don't. Anytime you are doing something, know that it is the report card of your relationship with people. You are doing wedding, nobody comes, it's a report card. Don't be offended. Be humble. Take it like that. You are not valuable like that. That's the truth. And you must know it. Are you together here? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Was it last weekend or something? Moses Bliss was doing wedding in Ghana. Almost all musicians in Ghana, in Nigeria, were in Accra. It is not that they are afraid of him. It's value. It's what? It's value. You there, you are doing something, you can call. Even one at a time. Chalo Beba. Oh. Yeah, I'm preparing. Oh, goodness. Hallelujah. Then there is the principle of resources. Let me write it here. You want to design your life, identify resources necessary to be able to move your life. Know what you have, know what you don't have. Understand and differentiate seed from fruit. Not every money is to be chopped. You understand? Chopped. That's some any money they get is for chopping. Some monies are meant to be seed, not to be fruit. Some resources are to be kept, held on to. It is not every relationship, it is not everybody who likes you that you have to ask. That some people reserve that help for the future. Are you with me here? You are blessed with great people in your life who can give you 100,000 and they won't think about it. And you are going to ask them for 500 cedis. Please, look for who you can ask 500 cedis. And wait until you have what requires 100,000 and go to that one. That's how we live life. That's how we manage the resources of life. Amen. I was listening to Bishop Tudor Bismarck one day, and he said he happened to meet this man who owns Virgin Atlantic, Richard Branson, in a plane. And see, there is a way great people live. Says, as soon as he came to sit down, he just took, you know, his papers, started working. So he was just looking for an opportunity to connect with him. So at some point, the man took notice of, it's like, I know you, Bishop. Said, and he introduced himself. And the man gave him his personal number. That called me if you need anything. You know when he called him? After 12 years. Because that was the only time he had what it took. He had the kind of need that required the attention of such a person. Imagine he called him as soon as he got back to Zimbabwe. He said, oh, Richard Branson, God bless you. I have raised Zimbabwe. This guy is not serious. He's not. So you just called me just to tell me you have reached him. Hallelujah. Understand how to manage resources of life. Some relationships, there are certain programs when you are doing, don't bother inviting certain people, even though they will come. Don't invite them. Don't. Principle of resources, we know how to manage human resources. Amen. I was telling Pastor Tio, we wanted to get a place around UPS to start Sunday evening service. And I told him that when we start, there are some people I will start inviting. Because when they are driving, it's not like, oh, pass left, pass right, oh, just come to UPS. They will just drive and come, park, get a place, powerful seat, and then they will come. But some of you, you need 50 Ghana. Oh, Charlie, please. Papa, can you send me 50 Ghana? Ah, what are your classmates for? Glory to God. Is somebody blessed today? And finally, is the principle of grace. Principle of grace. What is the principle of grace? It is the divine empowerment necessary for life. Everybody must understand, life is not lived by physical effort alone. Life is not lived by physical effort alone. Grace is God's investment, God's contribution to the fulfillment of your destiny. And you must have a program that allows you to access grace on a daily basis. You must have a program of your life that allows you or enables you to access grace on a daily basis. And that gives one non-negotiable element of life. It is the element of power. You can't do life without power. And where is power found? It is in the fellowship of the saints. Your time with God should be a non-negotiable element of your life. See, as you grow small, you should get to a point to understand and acknowledge that you can't do church accidentally and optionally. No, it's not possible. Are we together here? You should understand that you can't follow God by accident. You can't follow God as an option. It should become a non-negotiable element of your life, because that is your power source. The one you are looking at, who you think Sunday morning is playing golf, whilst you are sleeping, is standing or sitting in front of a candle. I've come to know a lot of powerful people who you will never see in church, but they have prophets on their payroll. They pay them and ensure they are always praying for them. I'm telling you the truth here. Proper salary, which is more than an entire church's 1 month's income. Amen. They dream. They see horse. A flying horse. They wake up 2 a.m. They call prophets. Church member calls prophets. Prophet say, call my PA. Yeah. There's difference. Hallelujah. Yeah. You can't give offering 2 CDs and call at 2 a.m. Glory to God. They won't come to church. But they understand the place of deriving power for life. And they commit to the demands that come with it. It's a non-negotiable aspect of your life. Hallelujah. Let me mention 7 constant elements of life, not to be negotiated. There should not come a time in your life where you have an excuse about that. Number one, passion. Live for something. I'll be done in 10 minutes. Passion. Live for something. Live for something. There should be something we can say. If all the options of life are given to you, we know this person will choose this one. Some of you, everybody around you is confused about what you really want to do and what you like. We don't know your interest. You are 30 years, we still can't point to something you are interested in. You are confused and you make everybody confused. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. We should be confident to say that Elder Ken will not choose A, he will choose B, because we have seen verifiable proofs of his passion and his interest. It's non-negotiable. It is the first place you derive your identity. As you grow in life, as you cross the 20, early 20s, your identity shifts from name to purpose. And when you are young, your identity is about your name and then your family, where you are coming from. Oh, this is the son of. But you get to a certain point, we forget about whose son you are. It is about who you are. Non-negotiable. That is how you will be judged. That's how you will be rewarded. That's how people will respond to you. If there is nothing we can define about your life, you become almost non-existent in the affairs of men. Non-negotiable. Number two, philosophy. Everybody must have something they believe in. You can't be the kind of person anybody can convince. Anything impresses you. Anything convinces you. Anything confuses you. Today you believe this one. Tomorrow you have changed your belief. You believe another thing. The next day, you believe another. So people will say, oh, me now, I don't believe in spirituality. I don't believe in Christianity. I believe in spirituality. What's the difference? So you hear people, you know, spewing that gibberish. And they get followers. I'm like, are you people weak-minded? Your mind is too weak. Anybody can write anything, and then you come to pastor. Ah, Papa, I read something. Stop that. You shouldn't be too gullible. Hallelujah. Don't be too gullible. You are growing. Start building strong philosophies for your mind. Have things you believe in, and you are unshakable in them. Everybody can believe their own. You too, believe your own. Hallelujah. Are we together here? I have friends who don't believe in tithing. They say, oh, you know, man of God, what is there? I said, Jack, what you don't believe in, take it. Me, I believe in it. Me, I do. I believe in it. Even if I can't explain it, I believe in it. Everybody must believe in something. You are growing. You can't be too confused at this time. Amen. That's what you are growing in Utu. Hallelujah. You should know philosophy. You should have things you believe. You should know that, hey, I believe life is lived for God. Somebody say, you know, life is about how you make it. Say everything you want. It doesn't change my mind. Amen. You guys say, no, man of God. You see, we have to come to a place where we have to rethink some of that. I won't rethink anything. Hallelujah. Some of us are weak-minded. Weak. Our minds are weak. Our minds are what? Weak. Unless somebody is not popular, anything they say confuses you. The slightest thing you get in here or read somewhere. It's true. You also have a point too. Charlie. Ha! Please. Have a philosophy. Glory to God. Yeah. Build philosophy about various areas of your life. On the word of God. Not on the wisdom of men. Are we together here? On the what? On the word of God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10. That ye walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. How we walk should be pleasing to God. So your philosophy should be built on the word of God. Build it. What is your philosophy about finances? What is your philosophy about business? What is your philosophy about celebrations? To what level will you want to celebrate? Your philosophy will define your boundaries and will define your reservations. Nobody can take it away from you. We should be able to know you and say, oh, as for this one, you must advise yourself when you are talking with this man, don't say this. If you say this one, the whole thing will be cancelled. Yeah. Non-negotiable. If people can't advise themselves in their dealings with you, that means they know you don't have any philosophy. And the next thing that comes out of philosophy is principle. So principles are the practical applications of philosophies that you built for yourself. Hallelujah. Principles. Daniel purposed in his heart, he will not defile himself. It doesn't matter who was asking. It doesn't matter who was requesting. It's the king. If the king knows, it doesn't matter. Nobody should pray. If the king decrees, it doesn't matter. Principle. Don't have people, the world will try to beat you. They say, what's a more ding, do? You know, I call it here. You are too stiff-necked. Okay, be stiff-necked. Imagine you wake up one day, your neck is zigzag. Be stiff-necked. Glory to God. Yeah, principle. Amen. I've talked about product. Your life should be a product that people can identify and define. There are certain people, when I am pressed with a decision and I want to think, I call them. Yeah. There are certain people, when I am bored and I want to be happy, they are those who come to mind. Everybody has what they offer. Nobody is everything. Glory to God. There are some people, when I need money, I call. I don't have to explain so many things. Am I talking to somebody here? Become something in the life of somebody. Become something. Sit down, go and write. List the first 20 people in your life. Quick, 20 people. And then try to tag everybody with a certain benefit. And see. You realize that some of your friendships is just because you went to the same school. That's all. Nothing is attached to it. Some of your friendship is just because you are in the same church. That's all. Hallelujah. Yeah. Do this thing. Number 1 to number 20. All your friends. And then so, you can add me to it. I don't know what you say. And then you go to number 1. Product. Number 1. This one. This one. Money. If all your friends are for money reasons, you are a bad person. Hallelujah. Number 2. This one. Entertainment. Number 3. This one, wisdom and counsel. Number 4, encouragement. You know, there are some people, when you feel whatever and they show up, they have time for you. They encourage you. No distance is too far for them to show up and be a blessing to you. Are you with me? First 20 human beings. In fact, if you can't even make up 20 lists, that is red light. You have trouble. You have what? You have trouble. 20. That's the exercise. 20 people. And define who is everyone to me. Try to mention one thing. You need to have partners. Partners. And from the principle of the evil spirit that saw that the place he was first cast out is nice. Say no. The way they beat me the first time, if I go again, I'm sure this time they will cut off my head. So let me go and get 7 powerful people who are partners. They are your power support systems for destiny. People who are wiser than you. People who are smarter than you. People who are richer than you. People who are more prayerful than you. Hallelujah. They are your number 7. Out of your 20, you need 7. You get the point? Who are support systems? You want to lie down? You say, no, stand up. You know those days when we used to pray marathon? So we'll be praying and somebody will hold their hand. Say, get up. Kabbalah, la, baya. When the person is dragging you, it's not easy. But you need them. Everybody, out of your 20, get your first 7. If you can't get 7, you have trouble. I'm telling you the truth. You have what? Who are the 7? People who will not allow you to be in financial need. If at this point of your life, designing your life, you don't have anybody who will not allow you to go and loan money from another source. You know, there are some friends, when you tell them, I need this money, I want to call this person. No. I'll give it to you. I am the only one who can accommodate your disappointments. This person will not. This person will be angry if you disappoint them. This need you have, it is not fit that this other person knows. So let me be the one to give you the money. You need your 7. You don't have it. Start fasting tomorrow. That God, reveal to me my 7. Reveal to me my 7. Yeah. Hallelujah. They are partners. Look at what the Bible said concerning Mark, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Let's read that one. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. He says, only Luke, this is Paul talking, he says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me. Partners are those who are profitable. They are what? Profitable. They are not just beneficial. They are profitable. That means they are presence around you brings you profit. The next thing is power. I've thought about power. And the final one is position. Position. What is your position? When we put you in the midst of people, where do you stand? When we put you in the midst of people, where do you stand? one of my utmost principles, I have held on for as long as possible. In any place that I choose and I make up my mind to make my dwelling, you know, there are places we visit and we continue life. There are places we go and we decide to dwell. We decide to make it a part of our identity, who we are. If I go to any place and I say, I want to join, I want to be here, I don't want to go past number two. I don't want to go what? The world doesn't celebrate number four. Have you ever seen some before? Amen. Although, Olympics is a fourth position. The world doesn't celebrate number four. The world doesn't celebrate. In fact, the world only celebrates number one. Glory to God. When we say, oh, but man of God, but all of us can be number one. No problem. I want to be. You can decide you won't. Are you together here? It is a mindset. Create significance for yourself. It's not about competition. I'm just using numbers, you know, in a sense, but I'm not saying go and compete. What I'm saying is that create significance for yourself. Increase in significance until you get to a point where you are the only one everybody is pointing to. Workplace, church, school group. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet. Let's be on our feet. So we can close. Can close, else the thing will be too sweet. Hallelujah. You go to a place, oh, become assistant. First, assistant, wait. On what premise are you making me assistant? Is it that I'm not better than the main or what? I mean, hallelujah. You must build significance. Non-negotiable. There are some of you, see, let's be honest. Sometimes I say, look, don't forget about this offense. People get offended too easily and too quickly. Your emotions are so cheap. Some of you, if God should ask you to choose your own self, you Nangasano, you won't choose yourself. You know, Bisu. Okay. You are in need. You have a problem. God says, okay. You Nangasano, help yourself. I'll give you everything you need to help yourself. Some of you will wish God gives the resources to somebody to help them. Significance. It is a non-negotiable demand of a life that is lived by design. A life that is what? Lived by design. Decide to be relevant in any space you are put. What you use is membership for years and nobody can point to you. What use is your presence in a place and there is nothing attached to your name there? What use? Some of us, in the name of I don't want trouble, you know, timid on me, I don't like to involve myself in this, this, that. I don't like to do this. I don't like to do that. I don't like. They will grow, give birth, and their children will follow in the same steps. And an entire family, an entire generation is irrelevant. Some of us. No, see, I'm telling you the truth. This is life. This is not revelation. This is life. Some of you, in your own entire lifetime, you have not been class buffet before. You have not been cardboard monitor before. Even bellboy, you have not been it before. In fact, even amongst the non-serious students, you have never been a gang leader. Yeah, you are practically insignificant. Ah, who are you? Amen. Also, Alice, if you will not be among the best, Ali, for those who are doing run away, be their leader. Be the one who chooses when we are all leaving the campus. So, hey, when it's 11 o'clock, we are going. Ali, be something. Hallelujah. Be something. Glory to God. Any spirit of average that keeps you bound to insignificance, I pray in the name of Jesus, I curse that spirit off your life. Workplace. They say, okay, we are going to do party. You won't be part of organizers. Okay, no problem. The food has come. people are serving.
You won't be part. Food that you must go and serve so that you can preserve some. You won't be part.
So every day, you put yourself in a place where you are a victim.
They won't give you some of the food, or they will give you insufficient food. You are complaining. You go somewhere, they are sharing money. Say, I'm waiting. And then they won't give you some. You are complaining.
Say, so you.
Although, glory to God.
Some people say, okay, as for us, we will be sinners. Sinner too, you are falling back. You know, there are some gangs. You know, in the midst of gangs, there are people who are insignificant. They are also there. The one to decide where we are going to drink is not them. The one to pay, they are not part. Just say, idea bia, say, boni bia, pesi edi bia, among kao, among the other say, yes, sir, ne, obeye Christo ni soa, sir. They don't do anything. Insignificant life.